Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
This June, rise with us for Pride Elevated at Utah Pride 2026. Join us June 3rd through the 7th for 5 days of celebration, community, and unforgettable Pride events all weekend long. Kick off the weekend at our first ever opening night party on Friday, June 5th, featuring DJs, dancing, and an all-night celebration you won't want to miss. Then on Saturday, June 6th, join the Pride Rally and March at the Utah State Capitol at 10 a.m., followed by day one of the Utah Pride Festival, featuring our new youth zone and Saturday night youth dance. On Sunday, June 7th, don't miss the free Utah Pride Parade at 10 a.m., plus Festival Day 2 starting at noon. Every ticket supports the year-round work of the Utah Pride Center. Celebrate louder, rise higher.
Shh. Are you listening?
This is Slug Soundwaves.
I'm Garrett Williams.
And I'm Brecken Jones.
We're in the band Strange Familia. I play guitar and sing in the band.
And I play guitar, keyboard, and I sing backup.
Yeah. We are the, I guess, the principal songwriters, you might call it, for the band. Brecken does a lot of the production and doing a lot of, I guess, vocal top line. Sometimes there's a little bit of exchange in between one doing other, but for the most part, that's kind of how things have been. But we've also, a few years ago, we expanded the band to, I don't know, like a 4 or 5 piece, sometimes 6. Coulter Hill plays guitar with us and sings, and Chase Meyer, he plays bass for us. He normally plays in the band Golden Suns, but he's lending his time to us right now so that Brecken doesn't have to play bass all the time. He can kind of jump around from keyboards and guitars and do a little bit more than he might otherwise. And then our drummers, do you want to talk about Cole?
Sure. Yeah. The same time Coulter joined the band, Cole Eisenhower from Coulter's other band, Mojave Nomads, who's like an older band they've both been in, they joined our band at the same time. And they've been playing with us now 4 years. That's a guess, but that's pretty close, I think. And then recently, just because, you know, people get older and schedules are hard when it's 6 people in a band, you know, so we had our friend Chris White, that Garrett's known for a long time, come in to fill in on drums.
Well, Cole, who normally drums for us, he's a really talented muralist. And so he travels the country, and I think he's in Italy right now, maybe doing some kind of mural course or something, but he gets hired and he's just super busy. And so when he can't, childhood friend of mine comes and plays drums for us. And anyway, that's kind of the makeup of the band.
You may have seen some of Cole's murals around the city. He's done a few buildings. Namely, the one I think of is there's an apartment building on, that's 7th East, and like just where the tracks cross by 2100 South, there's an apartment building. There's a huge mural that's the side of the building that he did. But that's just one of like a bunch. He's done a bunch in Ogden. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff.
Good drummer. mm-hmm. better muralist, I guess. At least he gets paid to do that. We, we can't pay him what these businesses are paying him.
Should we each take a crack at it?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
You have to go first. Actually, okay. We'll paper, rock, scissors if you want.
Do you want to? Oh, so I go first, right? Okay. Oh, by the way, Garrett threw rock. I threw scissors, so I lost. So how would I describe our music to someone who's never heard it? Well, my default that I usually say when someone asks, like, what kind of music is your band? I just say indie pop music because it's so broad and it's hard to explain. But I'm going to try really hard to give some descriptors here. I would say it's light and dense at the same time, because there's a lot of like a comedy in what we do. We like it to be like fun and funny, but we also like to like juxtapose that like lightness with a lot of like deeper themes in like the lyrics, and also like going in and out of like light and dark as far as like the chords and things go. But we're influenced by so much that it would be hard to like put it into like an exact genre, but I think it leans on the like indie, like pop rock, you know, with some like funk and soul thrown in randomly.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great description. I think that we try to be funny, but we're not, it's not like a comedy duo. There's not like an intent to be funny with the songs. But I think that we might try to find interesting ways to say things or to present them with music. And so it's not, you know, just a typical pop sound that you might hear, but I don't know. It's just something that maybe a little bit of a wrench thrown into typical pop stuff.
Sure. And maybe, yeah, it's not full like comedy, but like, I think there's a lot of tongue in cheek things where it's like there's something serious beneath the surface. With a lot of especially the lyrics, but I think even in the music, sometimes like the references to specific eras or other bands or, you know, genres.
I think we're like, it's rock and roll with pop influences is what I'd say, because we got electric guitars going most of the time. There's some synth stuff, but mm-hmm. if you see us live, I think it probably feels more rock and roll than it does pop.
Definitely. Shaking up the naughty body, twisting up the gangster
body. Hello, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. For me, a lot of its influence, a lot of the influence for what it actually turns out as, is influenced by Brecken, just in the sense that I guess it depends on the song, but for the most part, because it's been a lot of production that he'll bring in, I feel like I'm writing on top of stuff, and so I'm sometimes trying to figure out how a vocal piece can fit inside of the production that Brecken's done. I have like my childhood influences that I think, or even just like regular, like, you know, now influences that I think influence that as well. And that's, I mean, like earliest stuff is like, you know, I remember having like tapes of like Elvis Presley that I would just listen to back and forth, and like maybe the second tape I had was Mariah Carey, so I spent a lot of time there. Then in middle school, I guess pre-middle school, I think elementary school is when I was still allowed to listen to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. But then by the time I was in middle school, my friends would tease me for listening to that, so I kind of got more into, I guess, some alternative music with like AFI and Modest Mouse, and I don't know, the Used were kind of a local band at the time that when I was in middle school, high school, I was coming up. So I was influenced with some like heavier things and got into high school, listened to a lot of metal. But then just when I started playing music, it was a lot of singer-songwriter stuff. I didn't really know how to play the guitar or play music. And so it was just kind of like I was playing folk songs because they're like easy to put together and that's just what you do. And then I was able to, I wrote a handful of songs and was able to, figure out how to do the songwriting stuff and met Brecken. and he was just on a different level. His production just fantastic, and his songwriting as far as an instrumentalist is awesome, and it's always been fun to try to figure out how to fit melodies inside of the stuff that he's creating. But yeah, do you want to talk about your influences?
Totally. And just before Garrett and I met, I had been in another band, and we had gotten some cash from like a show or something that we played, and we decided to invest it in some recording equipment. And up until that point, I had done like little to no, you know, I had maybe like opened GarageBand once on a, you know, laptop. And we got this recording stuff because we were like, well, let's try recording ourselves. And it wasn't even my computer we were recording on. It was actually the drummer of the band. But I remember just the first time we recorded something and I heard it back and I was like, that's like amazing that you can just do that on your own, you know? So I kind of got swept up in that, and it was this perfect storm of like that band had kind of ended, but at that I had gotten my own laptop and my own recording, you know, little interface, and started just diving into producing and making more of like making beats was kind of like the style of where I was headed at that time, even though the band I was in was more of like a blues rock kind of band. But that was a huge time of like learning for me. And I think to the point of the question, like, why do you make this kind of music? I think it's such a hodgepodge because I went into it just so green and had no expectation of like what I was going to make. And then, fast forward to when we met, you know, it was that perfect nexus of like, I was ready to make all this music. And I had this idea folder that was growing of songs, and Garrett had songs that he'd been working on for his past band. And, we ended up moving in together, which made it easy to write. And so from that point, we just started like throwing paint at the wall. And I make that analogy a lot, because I think my songwriting is less like, I don't have the picture in my head. You know, it's more of like, I just throw things until it starts to take shape. And then once I see it, then I can follow the through line. But if you listen to our music, I think that shows, because a lot of it is just based on like, it started from one splat of paint and then it just like evolved into this thing. And when it comes to like influences and stuff, I had music I was listening to that inspired it, but it wasn't like I set out to make that specific kind of music. You know, it just kind of happened that way. I think our song Odes is like it, you know, we talk about this on stage and not a lot. Garrett tells people, you know, it was the first song we wrote, and it truly was like a, because it's like a folk song, but it's very electronic still. And I think, you know, it because he was coming from like folk influence, I was coming from this like electronic kind of production influence. So it was just this perfect, like, you know, ball of our two influences just coming together, you know, and that was the first thing we made that we were like, oh, this is like something, you know, there's some juice here.
I think that, yeah, the first song, there are probably some songs on the horizon, I guess, that feel similar, but I think that, yeah, like it's interesting because I don't know that it's a place that we've really gone back to with a bunch of other songs, but just that, like he's saying, it's kind of just, that was us trying to figure out how to work with each other. And then we kind of got a decent handle on how to work with each other. And now I don't know, you kind of just trust it. There's just trust to be like, okay, go figure this thing out. And then sometimes I'll come back with something that I'm not super stoked on, and he might be like, no, wait, I think I could make something with this. And he'll come back and be like, okay, well, I mean, I don't know. It's challenging. It's a challenging process sometimes, just because sometimes he'll come back to me and it's like not even close to what I was imagining it. And most of the time, even though like for the first little bit, I'm kind of upset about where it's gone, most of the time I come back and I'm like, no, it actually is better now. And I think it's more interesting, or I think that it's better done this way. And, but anyways, we definitely take our time with the stuff that we do and try handfuls of different versions of things. And it's probably, I think that the process of making the song is probably what we're more interested in than we are just ripping it, like just writing a ton of songs. We're kind of like, let's see what we can do with this thing and play with it a bunch of different ways. And we try it another way and another way. And it's just that the process of the writing and recording of the song is pretty, I don't know, sometimes it's frustrating, but I think that that's a lot of what the band is. We're not out playing shows all the time right now. We kind of just like to get together and kick stuff around and see, see what's what.
One point I want to throw just on the tail end of this is some of the songs on our debut like album, there's a few songs where they were completely different than they are on the record. Like they started as one idea and there was times where I'd
say it's like the majority of the album now.
Totally.
The songs,
totally, yeah.
Most of the songs had been, we'd finished the album and then we're like, let's just spend 2 weeks and see what we can do if we hate each of these songs again.
Yeah.
And, like all the songs ended up being different. We liked them better the last time that we did it. And we'd spent 2 years recording the stuff before that. But
yeah,
it's probably not the best way. I mean, it's not the best way if you're trying to like release a ton of music and have people, you know, especially now you kind of have to have a high output, but it's fine. This high low tide, we're like goodbye, she dripped. My lighthouse on the glow in the dark star, I wish. Like any way that you could imagine a song being written, like we've probably explored a little bit of that, but I think that a pretty consistent ways he will get something, like it might be a riff and he might not even know that it's a thing, but he like we just keep these folders of different projects and I'll start writing on top. Like we have a song, Don't Talk About This, it's coming out, and at the beginning like I just wrote all of the vocal stuff to just this beat that's in it, and then after I went to him with the vocal line on top of just it's kind of like an odd beat, I don't really know what it is, but we went and through and did all the production afterwards. But sometimes like there's a song called The Flame that we have that is one that I just wrote on an acoustic guitar, and then I like got down on a little synthesizer that I had and programmed this simple beat and was like, here's this thing, and then Brecken's like, okay, let's jump in, and we jumped in and then just kind of he did his thing with it. And then sometimes we're in a room together and we're just like, okay, let's just riff on something, and every once in a while you'll get something usable, and sometimes you'll get a full song. Most of the time you get nothing, but it's still fun to at least go through the exercise. But I mean, as far as for me when I'm writing, I get like, yeah, it's usually for me it's usually a lyric, like something that like I'll just write down, whether it's words or phrases. Sometimes it's like an idea or a concept, but yeah, there's if I have an idea, like anything, like it's probably just looks, I'm sure it's very common for writers, but it probably just looks nuts if you go into my phone, because it just is chaos. But if I ever feel like I need something, I can pop in there and there's, I probably going to find something that I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I can work with that, right off the top. But what about you? Have you ever written from a lyric perspective or, you know, not a riff?
I think, Not as much, because what I do mostly lives in like the music realm, whether it's chords or riffs or, but there have been times where I think because like he said, a lot of times, especially with the music that's currently out, I would send him a folder full of like sketches and he would pick the ones that work the most. And then I do think once he put some vocals on something that's already kind of created, then I would be like, it would help inform the direction of the production from that standpoint, you know, not really from the start of like my inception of it, but that first time around when it came back to like, okay, it's my turn to do some more to it, then I would definitely take into consideration like what the song's about and like where it's going.
Yeah, so we've got an album that'll be coming out. I mean, we need to have this conversation now. We need to like solidify the master.
Yeah.
And any final things? We'll have to have a conversation about a schedule, but we'll call it July.
Yeah. It's like 13 songs.
There's
right
13
now.
13 songs.
13 tracks.
The album's called Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We have a song called Yesterday, a ballad about yesterday. And turns out that the whole album kind of feels like it's welcoming that theme. And so we've already released like 5 songs probably from the 13, maybe even more, I don't know. But these are just songs that we wrote after our first album that we released in 2017. Lifed on us, and I don't know if you even call it a hiatus, because we've always been working together.
Yeah.
Whether it's on video or music, we haven't ever really stopped working together in the past decade, but there was like a 3 or 4 year not really doing stuff with Strange Familia. I guess that's the thing, we were doing it, but we weren't really shown what we were working on. And this is kind of what that was now. We kind of just kept pushing it down the road of, hey, well, I mean, it was probably ready to go pre-pandemic, and then the pandemic hits and we're like, well, let's mess around with some of these other songs and let's do this and this. And then we start playing shows and other things in life happen. And you're just like, well, let's push it out a little bit further. And that's the thing, we continue to make music, we continue to play shows, and that kind of scratches the itch for us. And while, you know, our friends and family, fans, whatever you want to call them, while they would like to hear some things, and we released some, they have been very patient. We're excited to get this new record out. And in July is the plan. We'll have a few singles and a few more singles probably come out before then. But I'm really excited to get these out. I listened to some of the record on the drive over here, and I think that they're good. I think the songs are good.
It's cool we're excited to get this one out, especially because of a lot of the songs were finished so long ago, and it's been such a long time coming. I think it will be for us as a band, like this release of like, okay, that era and that chapter is closed, and we can like move to the next one. Cause there's some other stuff we would like to do outside of our wheelhouse, you know, not completely like changing direction, but just like dipping our toes into some other things that we haven't done yet. And it feels like we can't quite go there without finishing this first, you know? So we're excited about it.
I mean, the theme yesterday, I think it's just in reference to, I guess, a focus on the past. Like like Brecken was saying, it's been somewhat hard to move on to the other songs that we've been writing currently, because these have just been sitting here. And so there's a nostalgia to, I think, the album in general. And I mean, a lot of the songs are written from, I don't want to say it's autobiographical, but there's definitely a lot of like self-inspiration, like throughout the band, like lived experience. And it's, I think that at least for us, the idea of yesterday is, it's just something where like we're closing the chapter. It's something that's going to be behind us. I don't know if the next album is like, do you just do like today? You know, you record an album and then release it. Now it has to be a
trilogy. Yeah,
Future Strange Familia is just folk music.
Mm-hmm. I will say there's one. This is a small detail, but something I'm excited about when the album comes out is there's a few small Easter eggs that kind of reference the first album and songs on the first album, which I love it when bands look at their old work and reference it in some way that's creative and new. So I'm excited to see what people find in it.
There are Easter eggs all over the first and second album.
Mm-hmm.
And I just...
We should do like a bingo, and if people really can figure out what they are. Really got
some of my friends to go looking for those. But yeah, people are listening here. I know we should give away an iPad. We should give away, like, we should do like, hey, go and find... I don't know.
A certain number of like Easter eggs from each album. And if you can find all of them that we like list...
That'd be pretty cool.
You get an iPad. I love you, baby, but I really gotta let you know. The program's ticking, I'm in all the way to Pensacola. It's Friday night, I got that cool. I feel like it leans on like strategic. Yeah. It's more on the strategic side.
It's hard to say though. Just it's always strategic in the moment, I guess. Like that, I could give a reason of like, why is this the next song that we're going to release? But in this case, I think that I don't know what I mean. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how it's felt.
I mean, as far as stuff that's already out that we've put either promotion behind, some things we put money behind, some things we just dropped. You really don't know like what is going to hit with something. So it's like, we try to be strategic about it, you know, not putting zero thought into it, you know, I don't know if it means that it works. You know, it's just like, if we're going to put something out we care about, we might as well try and get some momentum going, you know?
Yeah. I think that I was thinking of it in like a more of a, I don't know, not that way. I was like thinking of it as like a, is there a story that you're trying to tell with the order in which these songs are being released?
I think in that sense, we do that more, even more so, you know, of like which ones, because when we pick songs that are going to be singles, it's like, how does this set up the next one and the album coming after that, you know?
No, the answer is what we 100%, it's all very strategic, but I don't necessarily want to tell you what it is, how that is happening. And if you are going to take the time to listen to our music, know that it isn't just stuff that we're just like popping out, that we like, there is a story or something happening within the music that we're trying to create. And like, if you want to go in and try and explore that, that's there. And if you know, if people mm-hmm. ever were like, oh, I have this theory or that, like that would be kind of a fun conversation. I don't know that that's necessary, but I feel like that's more interesting than me saying, this is why we're doing it, this is the path to look for. But it's like, mm-hmm. we're trying, I don't think it's like just the music that we're releasing, like the whole thing's a project, like,
yeah,
not saying like our existences or whatever, but it's like, there's definitely more to it than just like, here's a new fun song.
Yeah.
But that, not that that would be bad. We do that too. We have
fun songs. I think that's what's beautiful about it, is it has both.
Everything, yeah.
I think our music is like, you could listen to it as just a casual, like, oh, this has got a fun beat and I can like vibe to it.
Right.
But if you're a person who like loves lyrics and loves getting into the story of like the band, there's definitely a through line that you can find in it. This road got some potential. Free flow, holy water, love show. Cup hold it up, shoelace untucked, tripping up. Reason I would pick it is obviously it's a title track, but it has one of the bridge of that song. I mean, the whole song is just like, it starts with this like piano thing that I like forced myself to learn, because, or not, I could like hear it in my head, but I think I did it on guitar first, and I was like, this would be so beautiful if I did it on piano. So then I forced myself to transpose it from the guitar to the piano, and it's like just burned into my brain now. And the piano line is so not the line, I guess it's the chords, right? It's not a melody really specifically, but the chords themselves in the intro are just so cool. But then how it kind of lightens up as the song goes on and it becomes more simple, that's something I love about it. And the bridge just is like a floating cloud of, you know, beautifulness. That's the word I'm going to use.
Hey, we're Strange Familia.
And this song is called Yesterday, a ballad about yesterday.
It's from our upcoming album, Yesterday.
Oh,
wrong with you? Still no soldier. You're an asshole. Fighting the wolves. I think it's time for you to just leave it alone.
Episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy anyplace cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.